sky just to be free. I am eternal me. I am eternal me. Look into your heart and you will find the one. Glowing freely through you as bright as the sun. Make yourself a vessel that can hold his grace. Sending out eternal love through time and space.
Shine
into your heart and shine.
Hello and welcome to Awakenings. I'm your host, Michelle Mache, and a fellow traveler on the path, co-pilot here. It's good to see everyone in the chat room. I hope everyone can hear me. We've been having some issues with sound. Welcome, everyone, and welcome all listening via Cosmic Dimensions, the archives, as well as iTunes. It's great to connect with all of you here. The call-in number, 347-539-5122. If you have a question or a comment or like a reading, press 1 on the keypad. And if you're just listening by phone, because we do have a lot of people that listen by phone, don't press 1 on the keypad, and then I'll know that you don't want me to pick up. Welcome, everyone, in this sacred space of empowerment, also known as the chat room. It's great to connect with everyone. We have a wonderful segment today. We have Jude Kuravan, cosmologist and astrologer, that is coming on at 12:45, and she's always amazing. It's always a joy to connect with her, and I think even more so this time. Every time is special, but get some of her take on what is going on cosmologically, and we're going to be talking about the Path of Hope, healing organization and focus that she works with. And many of you may have known her from her book, The 13 Step, as well as other books that she has also, The 13 Chakra. I've been getting, and we will be getting to the callers, I've been getting a lot of email, and then with my private people that I work with in workshops, a lot of questions on how do we know if we're safe or where we're going. And of course, we're talking about what is going on in the world with the Ring of Fire, what is going on most immediately right now in Japan. And I really can't stress enough, and actually I have some posts on this, by connecting into your own intuition so that you are guided to know where to be or what to do or what's right for you. If you go to Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living, there are some posts on the changes that are taking place that is assisting us as we're changing. The collective is changing, so there's a personal shift, a collective shift. But because we are not separate, whether it's from other sentient beings, animal beings, all of nature, planetary influence, planets themselves, all of the Earth. We are an aspect of the Earth, and the Earth is an aspect of us. We're really the same substance, but just a different form. And so as we are changing and shifting, all of nature, all of the world, all structures, man-made and spirit-made, if you will, are in the middle of this flux and change as well. And so there is a lot of inner movement. I was talking with someone the other day, and they said, I just feel, and they're not very spiritually, not consciously on a path, they're just waking up, and they said, you know, I've been feeling all of this anxiety, and I don't know what to do about it. I feel like I need to focus on this thing, or I need to focus on something else, or I need, you know, I don't know what I need to do. And I said, this is the new energy pattern. You know, some of you that are astrologers, or even if you're not, take a little peek at the energy of Uranus. It is not a linear energy pattern. It is an energy pattern that has a lot of starts and stops, a lot of disruption, a lot of leaping forward or disruption busting through to break through, and then nothing. So we are having to align, to learn to align, or open is even a better word, open to align to the energies of the new emerging consciousness. And it's very different than the linear energies that our ego personality has grown used to. That doesn't mean the linear energies are gone. The Saturnian energies are still there. Persistent effort, having a focus or goal in mind, knowing what to do to focus on that or arrive at that or attain that. However, we call these the transpersonal planets. Saturn is actually it's the beginning of the transpersonal planets. We did not have as much, unless you were on a conscious path and you were doing more expanded metaphysical or esoteric work, you did not connect in with these transpersonal energies very much. They were looked at as collective energies or generational energies, like Pluto, Uranus, definitely Neptune. But now those energies are being called in more completely individually. And so you're going to see influence, direct influence, because they've always been influencing us as we're influencing them, but I want to say direct influence. And so you want to really use meditation. And again, I've put this before in the chat. There's some wonderful free meditations that you can download. It's imperative, especially with the fear that is going on. You're in Greek language typing today. Nice. Oh, I'm not trying to do that. So you want to it's going to be so, I can't even explain it because it's just, I've been saying this over and over and people are kind of saying, well, why is that, necessary? Or I always meditate. I mean really using your meditation as more of an alignment meditation to align to the higher energy frequencies, to align to the higher self. Because otherwise what's happening is you're getting a lot of what we call the beta consciousness, the everyday news. News is on beta. And that's another thing. Right now, make sure you give yourself a little bit of a break or a diet. It's good to be informed, but when you find yourself caving in or thinking you have to flee somewhere, even though your higher self or your intuitive awareness hasn't told you to flee anywhere or do anything, do what you can on the human level, but then please connect in to your higher self through meditation and breath work. I had a situation with this where people were, oh my gosh, very up in arms as to what is going on. And I just realized my realm is the spiritual. My realm is spirit. My realm is connecting in with a higher self and expressing that and assisting others to do the same. And so you have to know what your realm is to know where and how you're going to get your messages. Are you going to get them in the gut, a gut knowing? Are you going to get a flash of insight? Are you going to get a sense of understanding? And remember all the times that you have been led, that you have been guided. I was actually thinking of something that I went through years ago, and this is why I always make decisions after I'm in a meditative state, after I get the quiet calm and that part of me can come through, because I had a situation years ago where I didn't listen to my intuition. The intuition came through. Actually, my guides even came through. And I got caught up in something else. And I actually almost died because of the situation. So, and I look back and people say, well, how come you didn't know? Or maybe you needed to learn this, or maybe you needed to have this experience, or it was karmic. And I said, you know what? And I thought about it, and I worked with one of my teachers I was working with at the time, and I had to fess up. I said, no, 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 no. It's none of that. It is that I didn't listen. My ego was so pigheaded that I wanted what I wanted when I wanted it, and I went for it, and I'd had a flash to wait or not to, not to go in that direction, to not to reach in that direction. So what you can do right now is really connect into your spiritual tools and have that understanding that you are on a destined and divine path. It's not to say that there is no free will choice, but you are, from your life experience, you're given a sphere of influence, and you're not given what you can't handle. Now, the ego personality may not think you can handle it, or the constructed ego, but you can handle it with the assistance of that higher consciousness or expanded consciousness or divine consciousness or the higher self, the power and presence within. You know what I'm talking about. You've felt it. You've sensed it. It's guided you before. It really brings a sense of calm and inner knowing. And that, in fact, I put on Facebook and also on Twitter, I'm lighting a candle today, and with the intention to align to healing energy, healing light through the visual of the candle, and peace, so that we all begin to move into a state of peace, so that we can see where we're called to be of service, whatever it is. And maybe it is a prayer, maybe it is healing light, the intention for all those in not only Japan, but Chile, Katrina, all over Egypt, all over the world, that they can feel some of the comfort and the solace and the understanding and the connection from our healing presence and whatever we're able to do or called to do, and that we have our own healing in our own life as well, that we can do whatever we need to do or called to do. Isn't it something, think about this, isn't it really something that when we're going through something that's extremely tragic or even just a little bit tragic, whatever it is for us in our personal lives, that when we don't have to go through it alone or we don't feel alone, it is so much easier. I'm not saying that it takes, you know, the extremeness away or the loss or the sadness. But it does make it I don't know what happened there. My internet just cut out. And hopefully it's not going to keep doing that. I'm going to have to get that checked out because I don't know. Part of the changes that are going on, I suppose. Anyway, so think about where and how you can connect into yourself more to get that calmness, to connect into that centering point within so that you can know more. Before we get to the phone lines, I would like to, if everyone can just connect in, and take a deep breath, and as you're breathing in, I want you to let your breath go beyond the crown chakra. You're actually going to connect into the eighth and ninth center, which is connecting into your higher self, the eighth chakra, and the ninth is bringing you above duality. That's the ascension point. So consciously breathe up, allowing the breath to go up to the ninth center. And as you're breathing out, feel that center point being reinforced and allow the light to come back through the breath going down into the denser physical body. Breathing in again, going, allowing the breath to go up through the crown chakra. And this allows you to connect into the luminous light, the light body. Reinforcing the connection to the higher self, breathing out, allowing the connection to the higher self to come through the breath. So so that you're feeling it more in the physical body now. You're feeling that connection to the higher self more in the dense physical body. Again, consciously breathing in, allowing the breath to go out through the crown chakra. Connecting to the higher self. Allowing and reinforcing a deepening to the luminous light body. Breathing out, bringing that connection back in where the ego personality can feel it, right into the mental body, the emotional body, and the physical body. Again, breathing in, out through the crown chakra, connecting in with the higher self, feeling the energies of the luminous light body, and breathing out, allowing those energies to be drawn back into the mental body, the emotional body, the physical body. And now breathing into the sixth chakra, bringing your awareness there, right there to the forehead, breathing out a ray of light, allowing your intention to be pure and clear. Breathing into the sixth chakra, breathing out through the sixth chakra, allowing the yellow ray of light to beam out so that your intention is clear. And breathing back in to the heart chakra, feeling the energy going into the heart chakra. And feeling, picturing, and imagining the ray of light coming out through the heart chakra out into the world. And breathing back that energy, that luminous light energy, back into the heart chakra. Feeling that love through the light, breathing back out through the heart chakra, seeing this light radiating out into the world. And receiving this luminous light energy back into the heart chakra. Breathing back into the sixth chakra, radiating out the intention for love and peace out into the world. And breathing in, allowing this intention to come back to you, letting it center right there in the sixth chakra. And so you're bridging head and heart, body and mind. Bringing the awareness now to the crown chakra, breathing up to the crown, feeling your spiritual connection there. And breathing out through the crown chakra, feel your connection to everything and everyone. Breathing back in, allowing that connection to be felt personally. And in your own mind, your own way, remembering that our thoughts are prayers, sending a prayer out. Breathing back into the higher self above the crown chakra. Feeling your intent is pure, your heart is open. Releasing that prayer with the light into the world. Breathing back in, knowing that it is done and it is so. All right, so we're opening up phone lines now. 301-395, you're on Awakenings. Welcome to the program.
Hello, hi.
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 Do you have a question or a comment? If you could speak up a little bit as well.
Okay, I have a question, and it is for a reading.
Okay, what's your first name?
My name is Helen.
Okay, Helen. Go ahead.
Okay, I would like to know about a guy named Michael. He currently attends my university, and I see him all over the place, and I heard that he may have someone else, and I would just like to be a friend to him. I'd like to know, like, what are his thoughts about me, if any? What do you see between me and him, and does he really want to get to know me?
Now, I feel you're more friends now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel he's open to getting to know you, but I'm sensing that I'm sensing more. It's more of a friendship right now, and to take a bit of time. Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, we had some different energy happening right now. I couldn't hear you. I would take it slow. I do feel he's interested in getting to know you. I feel, is he just out of a relationship?
I do not know, because he told me he had a girlfriend.
Yeah, that's what I feel. I still feel like, go ahead.
Because I asked him to be sure, because someone else told me this, and I wasn't sure, oh, it's true or not. So I asked him, and he told me last week, I do have a girlfriend, yes.
Yeah, see, that's what I feel. I feel a girlfriend around him. That's why I'm asking you. So I feel it's more friends. I don't know. He's uncertain about that relationship, but he's not uncertain enough to leave right
mm-hmm.
now. So I would say be cautious, because you don't want to get caught into something.
Okay.
He's leaning a little bit towards you, but he definitely has another relationship. So,
okay.
Yeah, I would keep it as friends.
All right.
And don't get caught up in any, you know, him trying to talk to you or say it's not working or I'm not sure if I want to be with her. You know, he may open up to you, but
okay.
That's the message, to stay friends. All right,
okay.
Helen, much peace.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome. Hello, 206-428. You're on Awakenings. Welcome to the program.
Hi, this is AJ.
AJ?
Yes.
Hi, AJ. Did you have a question or a comment?
I have a question, or a reading,
okay.
I guess. Regarding my current relationship, just kind of want to get an idea of, you know, where you see it going, and seems like my partner tries to say that there's a lot of conflict.
Yeah.
Although I don't think there is, but it seems like he tries to create drama.
Yeah,
where there
isn't power struggle. There's power struggle.
Okay.
And eventually you will not be with this person. I do see you butting heads. It's somehow his nature, the power struggles. You have kind of a lightness, and he would like that as well, but it's not in his nature. Sometimes what happens with people, and, you know, I, in my earlier path, I could say I was there as well. Sometimes we want to be like somebody, a certain person. And so we get with them, whether it's friends or dating, but then it really bugs us because of how they are, okay? So in other words, if somebody is really, and we've met people like that are very compassionate, very understanding. You can feel the warmth and the softness. Not everybody shows compassion that way. Some people are kind of take the bull by the horns. Oh, I'll help you. Let me just do that. You know, I'll help you. So you have to be comfortable where you're at, and your partner is not comfortable where he's at. He's comfortable where you're at and how you are, but that's bugging him. So
okay.
He needs to move into a place where he's comfortable with his personality, right? So do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah. No,
yeah,
that makes
and
sense.
That's why you. Yeah, and that's why you guys have the power struggle. So, it's not always that people mirror to us what we need to do or what we need to integrate. Sometimes people. Here's an example. Let's say a beautiful woman that's 5'10", and she wants to be 5'3", petite, 5'2", size 2. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sometimes you just have to say, wow, 5'2", petite is great, but guess what? I'm 5'10", Amazon, you know, and be happy with that. But if you're not happy with how you are, you're going to put yourself around those 5'2", petite types, but you're going to be snippy at them. You're going to be angry at them, little snippets here and there. So I feel with your partner, it is about you let it go through its cycle, but that's why the power struggles are coming up. That's where all the conflict and the little argument is coming up.
Okay, yeah, he is being kind of snippy.
Yeah, that's what, yeah. And
so
you're
don't
not
think
wanting
he'll
to see
come?
That. You're you're accepting him where he's at. but he's not accepting himself where he's at, see? Sometimes we see somebody's gifts or someone's potential, or we see somebody's gifts, but if they can't see their gifts, they make themselves miserable and everybody else around them. If they don't value their own gifts, it's going to be very miserable. And you're valuing your gift, or you're comfortable with who you are, you're like, well, this is just the way I am. Let's kind of roll with the flow. And then that person's going, well, you always want to roll with the flow. Well, you don't get anything done. And snip, snip, snip. And that's what's going on, right? That's what's going on.
It is, yeah. That's what's going on.
So
you don't see him coming around then?
Let him, well, maybe leave some books out about self-love and self-acceptance, or get him to do some meditations on self-love. You know, you can, if he's, the more he's on his healing path, the easier it's going to be. But you can't do it for him. Your learning lesson in this is to just allow him to be and stop taking it on.
Okay. He has started seeing my hypnotherapist.
Perfect.
So he's learning meditation there, so I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, but let him have his path. And when he gets like this, you know, just kiss him or pinch his cheek and say, oh, you just have to, you know, see your greatness. You know, this is just humor. I just wouldn't go into it with him.
Okay. So, you think this is an organization that's over, though? Are we going to end, or you think it's got a potential?
Well, it's dependent upon him. There's a potential there, but if he doesn't shift, you're going to have more and more of this sniping. And
got
he
it.
Could
okay.
self-sabotage the relationship. But the hypnotherapy, working on patterns, could show him my 5-step emotional clearing process. That helps relief if he's open to healing, or the Crystal Temple of Healing. Any of those kinds of things, if he can work with some.
Okay, great. Hello? Hello?
Okay, I hope you can hear me. I'm on cell phone, and I've got the...
I can hear you.
You can, oh, great, great, great. And I've got the call. I'm not sure what's going on, but the calls keep getting disconnected, so I've got it on auto dial or speed dial so that it'll call back on. Okay, AJ, so that's it, all right?
Great. All right, thank you.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye.
Oh, can you post your website on there again, too, on the chat?
Oh, yes, okay. Selfinlight.com.
Self-in-light. Okay, great. Thank you.
Selfinlight.com. Yeah. Nope, back again, Dragonfly. I'm here because the auto dial on the computer phone came in. Okay, let's see. We've got 360-402. You're on Awakenings. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Michelle. This is Victoria.
Victoria.
Facebook. Yes.
Hi,
yes, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you so much. This is all
thank you so much. Oh, good.
Yes, thank you. My question is more career oriented. I don't know if you would remember, but I sent you an email back in December, and you kind of responded to me about that. And I've gotten a job, and it's paying the bills, and I really like it. Everyone's nice, but it's administrative, and I really feel like my giftedness is in healing, and I just, you know, wanted to somehow get into that. I also feel like in a dream I've been given a book. And I mean, the very specific details, you know, the title and the main character, and it's a children's book. How, what do you see for me with that? And how does one even get started? And it would be such a drastic turn for me.
Well, here's the thing, and I'm glad you, I've had about 4 clients this week already, maybe 5, that we've had this discussion. Bridge, 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 bridge. So have that job and that routine that supports you, okay, that's in whatever the support that you're needing, because that support will help structure your time. And then around that, start these other projects that you're focused on. Whether I feel the book, definitely I feel the healing as well, but I do feel the book is something that you can immediately start on. And be open, you know, you're going to have to set the time to write, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, before I did what I did full-time, of course, you know, I did psychic since birth, so that was no matter what I was doing, I had my spiritual focus and connection. However, I didn't just start out the gate. You know, I've had, you know, other careers, and then when I was building my healing practice, I bridged. I had, you know, part-time jobs or temporary jobs or positions while that was occurring. Or I had things simultaneously that I was doing at one point. I had a TV show, but I still did my readings and my healing work. So you don't have to stop one to start another. Does that help?
Yes, it does.
Okay. But you do have to start. And you'll find that as you do start, it's something very sacred for you, and it'll build on its own. Remember that thing, build it and they will come. There really is something to that. If you're aligned, if you're really doing what you need to be doing, it will naturally build. So I'm going to just give you permission to start now. How's that?
Thank you. Thank you so much. Rachel and I both adore you.
Oh, you two hug each other for me, okay, and say hi to Rachel.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Blessings. Hello, 484-792, you're on Awakenings. Welcome to the program.
Hi there.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm rolling with the tech flows, the tech challenges, feeling good after the meditation, feeling aligned, so...
Right,
I'm doing
okay. Good.
What's your first name?
My name is Tara.
Tara, okay. And did you have a question or comment, Tara?
I do. I would like to know, when do you see this man re-entering my life and wanting to talk about things and coming back into the picture here?
The first thing I hear is patience. You need to be patient and wait. I feel like it's a relationship that's either been back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be coming up, I hear M, I don't know if it's March, perhaps maybe May or June, this person could open the door again or want to talk, is what I'm hearing.
Do you think it's going to be this month for March?
I'm not sure about this month. I'm not so sure. There's a lot of what I call mutability on it. I feel like he's already thought of calling you, but doesn't want to get caught in the whole big scenario. And
explain.
I almost feel like, he doesn't want to get in that. So what I would say to you is what's coming in from the higher self is that just to let it be and focus on you. He's teetering. He wants to call. He wants to... clear the air, talk, see where it's at, but he also, I feel right now, is not ready to take the relationship to that next level that you're wanting. So the best thing that you could do is really allow some space so he can reach, because right now I'm not feeling any space and neither is him, and that's what's keeping him from dialing the phone. The other thing is I feel him somehow at a distance from you. So I don't know if he's traveling
we're
or out of the country or out of the state. You're in a different state or something?
Out of the state, yes.
Okay. Yeah. So hard to say when things like this happen, whether it's relationship or career, go back to your spiritual tools, go back to you, go back to your gifts, and allow that space so that he can reach out. All right, Tom, take good care.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, hello, 646-824, you're on Awakening.
Hi, Michelle, it's Earth Mom. I love you on Facebook and sharing. Hello.
Hi,
Awakening.
How are you? Oh, it's
so
wonderful to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart. I'm doing good. I'm waking up and wanting to do things. I kind of got a little sidetracked with my cat and just everything. But now I'm kind of going forward, and I want to ask you a couple of things, or as much as I can. But
well, a lot about career, though.
Yesterday, I was an extra and the night before on a film in Manhattan, and it felt so right being there.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's just really like what I want to do, along with everything else, along with Green Cabaret and everything. But so if you get anything on that, and then there's a man that's really caught my eye, and I'm wondering if I missed the boat on it because I didn't jump immediately.
No, but you have a huge opening in the time of Taurus, okay? So actually, Taurus Gemini time. So that's going to be May, June, yeah. And that's in regards to work and let's... Now the relationship, he's around you, so you're going to definitely see him again. I don't know if you're going to work with him again, if he's in the similar field. Feels like he's very creative. But it does show definitely a relationship coming in for you. And I feel it's around something... work-related somehow.
That could be.
Either you meet him on the... Yeah, either on the set. Because I see, like, what are those? Like, little... The honey wagon with the little food area, you know, with the little snackies.
Yeah.
And I see you having to wait a while and talking, and you guys start talking there. So there definitely is major focus this cycle on your career.
Good.
Stretching out more with your work. I definitely see more work, and it is in the entertainment, video, film, that kind of thing. Also, you're going to be doing something where there's a flyer, and not a small flyer, but also, what do you call it, a poster, also poster-sized flyer.
Oh, wow.
Made up, yes, that you're going to be a part of. Some kind of performance. It's not just you on your own. There's other people there. But this year, yes, career upswing and relationship.
Yay!
Yay! All right, sweetie. Thank you so much for calling. Got one more.
Love you.
Okay, bless. Lots of
Thank
love and
you.
Light to you as well.
Thank you. Bye.
Welcome. Bye. 828-256, you're on Awakenings.
Hi,
do you have a question
how
or
are you?
Comment? Hi.
Hello.
Doing wonderful.
Oh, good.
Hi.
I was wondering if you see me...
What's your first name, please?
Tina.
Tina,
if
okay.
You see,
Tina?
If you see me doing good this summer in my healing, I do Reiki.
Okay. There seems to be a little bit of a limitation in your... your work. Are you just starting?
Yes.
That's what it is. Okay. So again, the timing of building, you're going to see more of an increase or feeling that you're more, like there's more growth and more established, I want to say, in the time of Virgo. So August, September, okay?
Okay.
Keep with what you're doing. You're definitely on the right path. It is, and it's also about creating a schedule that works for you. So I really want you to tune in and meditate on what is really causing, even if people say, oh, no, you need to start at 9, or you need to do this, or you need to do that, I want you to put a schedule together that really delights you, because that's actually going to draw more people to you.
Okay.
All righty?
Okay. All right. And
all right,
Pete.
Oh, can I? One question, because we've got other people. Much
okay,
peace.
Okay, hon. You have a
good. You too. You have a good. Hi, 212-579. You're on Awakenings. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. I have a question. Hi. It's a direction for my work. I've done healing work in the past, and I stopped. I was just tapped out and needed to focus on my own healing. And now I'm working on creative projects, but it's going to be a while before any money comes in. But I've been reluctant to put myself out as a healer, and I'm wondering at this time.
Here's the deal. What's your first name?
Annalisa.
Annalisa, you've got such strong energy around you for the healing and the creative. Here's the deal, but you're coming under what I call the reluctant healer, and either getting the burnout or the reluctant healer. The healers of the new paradigm have smaller constructed egos, so they're so content to be in the background or doing something else. And so that's part of what's also, I feel, happening with you. So definitely you're meant to put yourself out there, but you are meant to do other things besides just the healing. So again, similar to what I shared with the caller before, yours is a little bit different, but it is about scheduling. Find a way to schedule all that you love and want to do and the healing, but not just focusing just on the healing, because I do see art and creative projects around you as being very important. And also I'm hearing as a form of healing as well. So your creative projects are a form of healing for you and also those that you are sharing them with. So don't drop one for the other. And I would say with the healing practice, start out slow. I feel that you have people that you can reconnect with that would love to hear from you and work with you again. So you can start there on a very easy healing focus, if you will, for yourself, so you're not just throwing yourself in.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Can I ask, do you see money coming into me through a backer or through my getting financing for someone else's projects? I'm just needing, I have a cash flow issue right now.
Yeah, because you're meant to put yourself out there in more ways. That's coming up more, I feel like, in July, August.
But I
there
my,
does seem to be.
The backing or that I put myself out there?
Well, you put yourself out there. You need to do that. See, that's a part of what you're also meant to do. So for these other things to work, you need to be doing your healing. You need to be doing all of it, so not just one or the other. Although I do think some of the other stuff sometimes may take more key precedence, but not right now. I do feel a backer. It's not right now. It's still. I feel like what you're doing is so new. You haven't yet aligned on the right person or partnership, but you will.
Okay.
All right.
Keep my little landlord happy.
Yeah, well, exactly. Blessings and light. Okay, so we have today, I want to give a call, Dr. Jude Kuravan, as I mentioned earlier on the program, and we're going to get her take on the cosmological happenings that are taking place. Jude Kuravan is a cosmologist, planetary healer, and international award-winning Hay House author. She's also, in my mind, quite a visionary. She recently was awarded the One Award at the G4 Summit. And many of you know her from her amazing, amazing books, healing work, healing summits and retreats. And you can also get more information about Jude at judekuravan.com. All right, so let's here we go with the done from 12 to 12:45 Pacific time. So those, if I didn't get to you, if you call back next Wednesday, that would be great. I love Ring. Yeah. I've got two numbers for her, so we'll see.
This is Jean.
Okay.
So I'm sorry I'm not here to take your call.
So it's the other one. I've got two numbers for her. All right. Technology. I love technology. Even when it doesn't work. I love it when it works, and I love
Hello.
It.
Hello.
Oh, hi, this is Michelle with Awakenings Radio calling for Jude.
Oh, right, okay. Are you giving her an advance warning?
No. Oh, we had the time change. Oh, that's what happened. Is it...
Yeah, because you're looking... oh, you're early.
Oh, I'm early. Oh, no, we had the...
You're premature.
We leapt forward, so I don't know what happened with that. So...
oh, right.
Is she...
You want to have a quick word, anyway?
Okay,
hold
we'll
on.
Have
She's
a quick
here.
Word. Okay.
Yeah.
I can get to reading.
Hello.
Hi, Jude. We,
Hi, love.
Hi, love. So good to hear your voice.
Oh, bless you.
What is it? The time change. Do you not... I don't know if England changes or not.
No, we do, but we don't change until another couple of weeks' time.
Ah, okay. So what time is it there? We've got 12:48.
Oh, heavens. We've got a 7:45 here.
So you're, okay, I see. So you're out, we're hour ahead. Okay, so we are hour ahead. Well, I don't know if
we have
time.
Don't worry, we can do it now. We can do it now.
Okay, a little chat. Or do you want me to call you back? You want to get settled or get
the team? If you can give me, sweetheart, 2 minutes, we can go for it.
Let's do that. I'll call you right back.
All
righty.
All right, love. Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, my God. Okay, interesting. All right, so those that are waiting online for the reading, I will get to that. Let's see. Boy, now I can't disconnect from her. This is bizarre. I mean, the phone... This is very strange. Okay, what time is it over here? Well, for me, in England it's 8 p.m. And, she is a trooper, Tamara. She is amazing, absolutely amazing. Okay, so hopefully, okay, so let's see. Hi, 804-798, you're on Awakenings.
Hi, good afternoon. I just... came across your program today. It looks quite interesting. And
okay.
I am just starting to manifest some very big things for humanity and wanted to see if you could pick up on when that might happen, because I'm looking for it to happen like yesterday if possible.
Okay. Everybody's looking for it to happen like yesterday. It's
Well, I mean, it's not for me. It's for everybody that, you know, has the fear and
right.
and that are trying
right.
to improve their lives.
What's your first name?
My name is Hugh, and I'm calling from Virginia.
Hugh?
Yes,
Hello? Hugh?
Hello, yes, Hugh?
I think we lost Hugh. Hello?
No, I'm here.
Okay, Hugh, okay. Okay, went out for a little bit. Well, we're having interesting stuff with connection. Okay, so let's see. Now, for some reason, I'm feeling this is not just, obviously it's not just for you, but I feel other people involved with you. And I also feel an issue of funding, yes? Is that
true? Yes, I'm looking,
yeah.
you know, I have a huge vision. I'm looking for people to work with that can help me get the information out that will co-author articles, books, online courses, seminars, and computer software. I'm actually looking to transform the whole global economy.
Mm-hmm. Right now, I feel that you need to keep that larger vision, however, start smaller. Pick one piece of it, and I would, you know, map it out, map what you want to do and have that focus. But I do feel it's a little all over the place. You need to rein it in and maybe even start online with virtual connecting and let it build that way. I do see perhaps there's something in the summer months, but I'm actually feeling more after the summer, more of concrete connections for you in regards to funding and also having some assistance, because you're going to need other people to help you, you know, other hands, other feet, so to speak, right?
Right.
So start smaller, start virtual where it's easier for you to do and put the information out. And I also feel that there is going to be, and this feels like August, September, maybe October, I don't know, there feels like some kind of conference, it's a collection of workshops, I don't feel it's just one workshop that you're going to attend, that I do feel you're going to make some connections there that you're going to feel are very beneficial for you. But it is also about you extending out of your immediate surroundings to connect with other individuals that can assist you, that resonate with your vision. Okay?
Yes, it's very good. The reason you see me scattered is because it's general stuff that can really be adopted by anyone. They have to tailor it to their own interests. It's something that I've learned over the years through personal experiences that is not widely known, and that relates to everyone realizing that we all have unlimited creativity. We just don't mm-hmm. know that because we've been under some kind of an authority all our lives. But mm-hmm. now's the time with technologies to come together in caring, sharing ways, and we can transform the world.
Mm-hmm. So with that, that's your message. So put that out there. But I feel like you need to start in one place first, and let that kind of build and mushroom a little bit, and then you'll get some other people that can also help you. Because that's one of the things I feel right now is really important for you, is you need the assistance, you need the help.
Right, I'm getting it. I work at all different levels, so that's another thing you're picking up in general. But I'm manifesting in some ways already, but I just wanted to see if the big stuff would come out as quick as possible, but it'll get there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It will get there. All right, Hugh, blessings to you, and wonderful that you are wanting to be of service this way.
Well, that's what I've been called to do. I had a lovely wife.
You're answering the call. I said you're answering the call. Which is so important. Thanks for calling in. I need to go on. We're going to get to our guests now, but
Thank you for calling in.
It's great to connect with you. Okay. All right. So the call-in number is 347-539-5122. 347-539-5122. If you have a question or comment, press 1 on the keypad. And we're going to call Jude back. And if you have any questions or comments for Jude as well, let's see what's been going on with her.
Hello.
Hi, Jude. Welcome to Awakening.
Hi, Michelle. When we talk about the shift actually happening, I think time slips a part of it.
Oh, gosh. Time, and I've been finding things with phone connection, internet connection, just a lot of little slippages, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, talking of slippages, not little slippages, but massive, massive, massive slippages. I've just come back from Japan.
I know that you were there. I was thinking of you because I thought, I was wondering, are you back now?
I'm back now. I got back Monday evening, but I was there for the earthquake. I was in Tokyo when the earthquake hit. I was on the 10th floor of an apartment building. And it was absolutely terrifying. So, the people up north were vastly worse off than we were. But even in Tokyo, it was enormously frightening.
So you felt the whole experience,
Sure. I mean, on the 10th floor, the whole building was shaking. Mm. Everything that wasn't nailed down was falling down and breaking.
Mm.
And it went on for several minutes, and we'd had a foreshock, and there have been aftershocks since. But it was absolutely enormous, and it just kept going and kept going. But interestingly enough, I was there because I was giving a large seminar, because my first book, all my other books are already in Japan, Japanese, but my first book is just about to be published, and it's called The Wave.
Oh, I know. The Wave. Oh.
My God. So, you know, and I've been talking to the Japanese people about their needing to shift because it's been a very stuck society for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just written my new book, Hope, about the energetics between people and places. So that it's all, you know, it's this real resonance between, you know, Gaia along the fault line sticking and then suddenly shifting.
Mm-hmm.
And the Japanese people. So it's an incredible moment that's, you know, paradoxically filled with enormous challenge and deep grief for the people there. But they're already saying, as I believe it could be, that they could look back on this and see it as a new beginning. And
mm-hmm.
I pray and trust that it will be.
Mm. Me as well. I think everyone, I put an intention out with a candle on Facebook and Twitter that if people light a candle but align their intention for their own personal healing, right? And the,
yes,
and the world and the global, because this really is all about all of us, you know. I remember last time we were on, we talked about how extreme the changes can, the shifting can become, that not all of it, but so much depends on where, you know, where we're at and what we're focusing on.
Very much so. Very much so. And, you know, what I've been inspired by in Japan, and it is really very, very, very difficult. I think unless you've been there, even if you see the pictures, you know, it's very difficult to appreciate just how stoical and how resilient the Japanese people have become. And, you know, they really are trying their utmost to just not fall into the fear of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is key. What you just said is absolutely key. It's where we're at. And I would really encourage everyone to really understand that the more that we retreat into fear, the more that will be reflected on an outer level. We're entering mystic reality as part of this shift. And it really is now. It's not just the instant karma and the synchronicities. It really is now what is within is without and vice versa. And the more we understand and recognize that, the more important it is then to go on from that and really be that center of peace within
mm-hmm.
ourselves.
I'm so glad that you mentioned that because the tragedy, the human sacred life tragedy that is occurring, not just there, but around the globe in, you know, Chile, Australia, New Zealand, you know, Egypt, we can go on and on, Libya. But right now, of course, the devastation, because even though, you know, wars are horrible, many times there's at least some place to hide or retreat. Not always, but obviously with something that is so devastating as, you know, 9.0 earthquake and then that tsunami, it's, you know, you can't outrun that or leap that. But I do see, you know, such a wonderful example of their respect and their calm in this, even though, you know, obviously upset, you know, and feeling the loss. And I feel so many of us in the Western world, we need to learn this somehow, because there's been fear. I mean, I can't tell you how many clients, people, friends calling me, should I get the potassium, whatever that is, or whatever, the iodine.
I know, it's the iodine, isn't it?
And people telling, I'm leaving, I'm moving now, and, you know, on and on. And finally, I disconnected from it all, and I just did a deep, deep meditation for hours, and I thought, you know what, I got to get back to source point here.
Yeah.
What
I
do
think
you
that's such an important point.
Yeah, what do you suggest for people? Because there's something in the Western nature that we do go off the deep end, even though it's none of this is, you know, physically affecting us, but it's the fear that it could is what people are operating off of.
Yeah. I mean, my sense is, you know, that we have got to a point, and the media whips this up, but we also, you know, we have to take the responsibility for allowing the media to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have got to a point where a lot of people are almost in a chronic state of fear. There is, obviously, you know, from an evolutionary point of view, our bodies are meant to respond to a dangerous situation by raising our levels of adrenaline so that we can either fight or we can flee. And that's fine because our bodies naturally raise to that level and then they naturally dissipate that after the danger's passed. But what we're finding now is that whether our own sort of fear feeds on itself, and I think it does, we've got ourselves almost to a threshold where we're in a chronic fear state.
Is that what it is then?
I think it is. And the problem of that is we're under such stress within our bodies that we're in this constant fear state. So it doesn't actually take much to tip us over the edge.
Okay, that's what it is. Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So I would like you to suggest to our listeners that anything you can do to relieve that fear, anything you can do to relax that fear, whether it's listening to music, whether it's meditating or tuning, whether it's going for a run, whether it's playing a musical instrument, whatever it may be, really focus on reducing that level of fear.
Mm.
Because it really isn't serving us. And what I find in Japan is, you're absolutely right, their stoicism and their compassion for each other has been absolutely extraordinary.
Mm.
What each of them said, I think the difference is that there is such a sense of community in Japan.
Okay.
It's this incredible sense of community. Now, in some ways, there's a downside of that, which I've been talking to them about. Funnily enough, in the West, I feel we need to move from the me to the we.
Mm-hmm.
But in Japan, they've moved so far to the we, they've also lost a bit of the sense of the me.
Yeah.
So, do you know what I mean?
I agree. I've been to the Far East and been to Japan and India. Yeah, I agree. And maybe that's the balancing point.
Exactly.
Is that, yeah.
Is where that balance point is. And at times of crisis, they are such an inspiration because that sense of community is so powerful and all-pervasive that they are getting through this together as well as probably any people on earth could. And so they're an incredible example of what the we, when we move to that point of community, and altruism and caring for each other can do. And I, like you, I've seen emails from the States, and it's crazy. It's just crazy. And people really need to get some more understanding and information of what's really going on. But I do think on a more general level, it's doing anything that people can do to just get away from this continuous, chronic threshold of fear.
So that makes sense that we're so triggered, you know, hair triggered for it that anything just sends us over. And perhaps, you know, I would say people, whether reading or some of the examples that you gave, but getting that spiritual either insight or connection, something that's connecting to a larger truth and source than the beta mind fear of this can happen to us, this can happen. And that's all it's about, the fear that this can happen to us.
Yeah.
And
it's the fear of, it's almost you're feeling fear itself. It's not what is happening, it's what might, it's what could, it's what possibly. You know, and it's that shows us just how chronic our fear-based response has become. Because that doesn't serve us on any level to be fearing about the possibility of fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've really got to that threshold. And, you know, the Japanese have had to live in a very powerful seismic zone all their lives. You know, they've been feeling that the big one is coming on a very conscious level for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they've still got on with their lives. They know it. They're aware of it. But what they've done there, interestingly enough, I don't know if you saw this when you visited, but they have places where you can go to and they simulate earthquakes.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah. So the school kids, from early age, you know, they do their earthquake drills. And they can go and they can, you know, have a simulated earthquake. So instead of fearing the unknown, it doesn't completely remove the fear, but I think that it's the fear of the unknown that's more scary, almost always, not always,
mm-hmm.
but almost always, of the actual situation.
Mm-hmm. And when this occurred, were you able to... obviously, we were able to fly out, but you had to wait, I guess, to get out then, right?
Sure. I had seminars to do. The quake occurred in the tsunami on Friday, and I'd been there already for nearly a week. And then I had further, you know, scheduled meetings and events on the Saturday and the Sunday. So what we're able to do on the Sunday event is literally tune in to what was unfolding and tune in to not just the people for healing, but also for Gaia for healing.
Mm.
Because we are so, you know, we are co-evolutionary partners, as we were saying before. So, you know, the more that we can just be calm and be at peace within ourselves and do our own inner work and make that connection to spirit, then I truly believe that that helps Gaia to go through her shift in a more graceful and easy way.
Mm. And so that's perhaps what needs to be more of the focus right now, is to step into that place.
I feel so. I was in email contact with another friend of mine, Claudia Weiss, who is part of the Global Coherence Initiative, and also with my friend Laura and the Path for Hope. And that very much is the intention, to be in that place of harmony and of unconditional love for all that is unfolding, but with that sense of that recognition that we and Gaia are co-evolutionary partners. We're going through this together, and the more at peace we can be, the more at peace she will be.
Yeah, that information, that message, and the tools to do that needs to be, Jude, so much more out there, because it just, yeah, we're not going to make this shift with everybody going off the deep end. You know?
No, we're not. And I think, you know, just to see how the people of Japan are dealing with, you know, almost a worst-case scenario, bless them. You know, not just the earthquake and then not just the tsunami, which was far more devastating, the earthquake, but then the nuclear installation at Fukushima.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're still, even though they're really, it's pushing them to the brink, they bless them. They are acting with such amazing, amazing, inspiring communal response.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the compassion and the, like you said, the community, the compassion and the call to action, but in a sacred way. You know, it really reminded me of the sacredness that that is life, you know. Let's see, we might have a caller here. I don't know, 206-428, did you have a question or comment for our guest, 206-428? Hello? Okay, maybe not. Okay, they have that little hand press for the... so I don't know. Shoot, I'm telling you.
But I think the other thing to perhaps add to all of this is that, you know, we have enormous spiritual and cosmic support for all that's unfolding. And you mentioned the Middle East, and in fact, I was in Egypt in January, a couple of weeks before the revolution there. And again, you could really feel the shift beginning to come through. And it's not really surprising when we look at what's happening astrologically at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got Uranus just moved into Aries, you know, fire sign, a sign of empowerment, a sign of revolution, a sign of change, radical change. And we've got Neptune just about to go into Pisces, which is about altruism and literally moving from that me to the we.
Mm.
So the level of cosmic support that we have for this, I'm absolutely extraordinary. And so to appreciate that's important as well, I think, to realize that we're not in this alone. We are all in it together, for sure, as a human family, but we have so much more support in the bigger picture of the shift
mm-hmm.
than perhaps many people realize yet.
Yeah, a support seen and unseen, and I think for people,
yeah.
We have a question in the chat, where you're going to be next, any workshops or seminars or talks coming up?
At the moment, it's more about books, to be honest, because I feel that although I love the seminars, you know, I gave a seminar with about 150 people in Tokyo. It's still 150 people, and I'm just getting a guidance from Spirit that it's possible to reach many more people by continuing to get the books out, but also for us to be doing this sort of work
mm-hmm.
with podcasts and literally sharing the message as widely as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of what's coming up, it's more my new book, which is called Hope, which is the subtitle is Healing Our People and Earth, which is the H-O-P of Hope. And it's really sharing this understanding of the energetic connection between people and places. And also, as I think we know now, the reality is being played out through this cosmic hologram at all scales. So, you know, the sort of traumas, and we're talking about fear-based patterns, we play out on individual levels, are also played out in nations and collectively. So it's understanding that, but also, of course, then what we can do to heal and release that. So that's the next book coming out, and it's very much to answer that sort of question, what can I do and how can I help? And, you know, to understand, to join up the dots
mm-hmm.
between our own personal lives and the bigger picture of what's unfolding on a collective level.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, what's interesting in this whole scenario, what I found really helps to dispel the fear and the worry is connecting with your purpose. Or
very much.
Isn't it? And feeling that you're part of that bigger picture. I mean, my God, you were there, you know, and still doing your seminar, you know, seminars. It's like, but what else are you going to do? That's what you're called to do. And if you're still able to do that and the opening is there, that's where you're needed, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, with the wave coming out in April, it just feels what an incredible time synchronistically to put this message out that we are all one and we are all part of an ultimately benevolent, loving cosmos. And this is a shift that we are all going through together. And it's an evolutionary leap that, you know, it's like a birthing process. It's tough. And we just need to breathe like any birthing process. You know, breathing is good. And to help people to really understand that, and then to bring that down to their own personal embodiment, as you say, of their higher purpose, whatever they feel called to do, but in service to that bigger picture and the communal we, that we all can find a way of helping. We can, however small, we can all find a way of helping others.
And, of course, we just had, I guess, Uranus moved into Aries.
Yeah.
I believe at some point that's going to square Pluto and Capricorn.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
These are tough. Well, you know, again, I would say that especially the outer planets, you know, Uranus, Neptune and Pluto are so powerfully placed to help us undertake this shift. Because what they are saying to us at the moment is, you know, Uranus in Aries, it's a wake-up call. It's saying we cannot go back to the comfort blanket of the unsustainable way that we've been living, you know, and treating our planet. So it is a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call in Aries, which says that it's empowerment on a very individualistic basis. You know, we all have to wake up. We all have to embody that empowerment and move forward. And it is radical and it's revolutionary, but it's taking us in exactly the direction we need to move. Neptune, allied to that, is saying, you know, there's a new reality emerging. And it's a reality where in Pisces it's stressing our need to move from the me to the we, to become more altruistic, to recognize there is a bigger picture and a higher purpose to be in service to. And Pluto, of course, the last couple of years has been in Capricorn and therefore really taking away the old structures. Anything that can't transform will be destroyed because it no longer serves us. It no longer serves our purpose. But with Uranus and Pluto squaring, it's really saying we have to get real now.
Mm-hmm. And you're saying it's we know it's an individual and collective, but what I'm hearing you say with that Uranus and Aries, that it really is about the individual waking up, not just certain people or certain groups of people, but it's really the collective individually waking up.
I feel that. Mm-hmm. The collective subconscious, the collective unconscious is becoming the collective conscious. But it's rather like, you know, musical instruments in an orchestra or the notes of a symphony. You know, if one note's missing, you notice it. If one instrument is missing, you notice it. Every individual is here. Every individual is chosen to incarnate at this moment, to play their part, to play their role. And it really is a unique role in this shift. I mean, when we go back to late December and then into early January, you know, what happened, what is still unfolding throughout the Arab world, really, you can say, was triggered by one person, and that was a young vegetable and fruit seller in Tripoli, in Tunisia, who one day was stopped by a policewoman and told that he couldn't sell his vegetables because he didn't have a license. She behaved so badly to him. And he went to the police station and complained about her, and they laughed at him. They threw him out. They wouldn't even listen to him. And he was so distraught that he went and bought a can of petrol and went back and poured it over himself and set fire to himself. And a couple of weeks later, he passed, he died. And that young man, Mohamed Bouazizi, is seen as the first martyr, but the trigger of all that's unfolding now, really, throughout North Africa and the Middle East. Because he said he'd had enough, but his act of hopelessness has literally fired a hope throughout all of North Africa and the Middle East and the whole Arab world. And who knows where it'll end, but, you know, so many of them, as I know from personal experience, have lived under dictatorships, brutal dictatorships, for so long. But what they've done is they move beyond their fear as well.
They move beyond it?
They've moved beyond the fear.
Yeah, they did. They did. They did. They moved into that purpose of something bigger, as you said earlier, the bigger picture.
Yeah. And it's these are movements without leaders. It's coming back to this individual empowerment of your mission areas. You know, it's not about the leaders that are emerging are now seeing themselves as servants of the people. They're facilitators of the people. They're not the dictators and the rulers and the head honchos that have been running the show with this brutal, you know, suppression for so long. But only when, and primarily the young people, but across all walks of life and across the whole population of these countries, are saying enough's enough and I'm not going to be fearful anymore.
Really is moving out of that fear. And on a cosmological level, Jude, why do you feel this is happening? I know it's encoded within us, and it's, but at this time, what do you feel we're moving towards in our evolutionary process?
Well, I've spoken, as you know, Michelle, about as moving into a sense of becoming galactic humans, you know, our whole solar system is aligning with the center of the galaxy, and that huge black hole at the center of the galaxy, you know, energetically, is rather like the womb of a new birth. And we are going through that birthing process. And it is taking us, you know, from that personal sense of self to a transpersonal sense of self, which only comes when we begin to wake up and realize that we truly are all one, and that we are unique microcosms of that oneness, and but we're still a unique and yet integral part of the wholeness of all that is.
We really do have to move in that direction, don't we? We can't go any further with the me wasn't working.
No, we can't. And you know, when we do retreat into the fear, that's what we're doing. We're retreating into that ego-based sense of self. And it's only when we move beyond that and we, you know, the universal heart, the eighth chakra, is opening within us. It's opening within us individually, opening within our collective psyche. And, you know, as I write in Hope, you know, our fear-based patterns are, if you like, the karmic residue of our past. And when we become aware of that, and when we become aware that we're playing out on these national and collective levels, this life after life after life, you know, trauma, then we can begin, like any individual healing, we can really begin then to heal and release it. And that's our opportunity at the moment. I think it's an amazing moment for us to wake up and to really embrace the opportunity of this leap into love.
I've got another question in the chat room. How is Chiron, the wounded healer in Pisces, playing its part right now?
Well, it's a great question, and of course, you know, by being in Pisces, which is a spiritual sign of realization, of self-realization, I feel that's what Chiron's helping us to come to. And I find that, you know, Chiron is, because of his position between Saturn and Uranus, he is bridging the personal to the transpersonal sense of self, and therefore guiding us and energetically supporting us through this healing process. Of course, to be joined by Neptune very shortly, in April. And although, you know, Neptune goes into Pisces and then pulls out again, he's going back into Pisces permanently, or at least for the next generational period from early 2012. Chiron and Neptune, I think, are really working together to help us heal the sort of ego-based traumas of our past and help us to move into this transpersonal balance of the me and the we as we move forward.
So it's that the rebalancing point, in a sense.
And Chiron is that wonderful balance point between the sort of the, if you like, the sort of the social planets, you know, up to Saturn, and the collective planets from Uranus onwards.
Mm-hmm.
So he is that, the me-we, you know, bridge. And of course, when we heal our inner traumas, when we heal the wound within us, that is when we realize that we are ultimately whole and we are ultimately all one.
Mm.
He's doing a great job.
Yeah, absolutely. And another question, you spoke of your book, Hope. When is that coming out?
It's coming out on the 4th of July.
Oh, good. Oh, perfect. Okay.
I'm pretty sure the guys in the US can get it then, because you can pre-order it already on Amazon. I think Amazon.com as well as Amazon.co.uk. But it's Hay House and 4th of July.
Okay, published via Hay House. Just putting on the chat. So they can pre-order now, or it comes out in July.
Yeah, it comes out on the 4th of July.
Oh, love it. Okay.
And you know what's so amazing with the time frames is that I've actually been able to write about, you know, right till now,
yeah,
about what's happening in North Africa and the Middle East and in Japan.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're winding out here, Jude, 90 seconds. So I'm so glad you could take the time to share with us, especially at this time, especially since you were in Japan. And your insight, your wisdom, and your understanding of the experience, I think, is so helpful right now, but also, I think, pivotal for people to that wonderful guidance that you said about getting that calm, getting back to that center point. So important right now for everyone to hear. So thank you so much for sharing with us.
Oh, Michelle, as always, it's my absolute privilege. And much love in the universal heart to you and all our listeners. And, you know, I wish them every joy and every sense of that inner peace, because by bringing it to their own universal heart, they are truly in service to all of us.
We'll have you back on when you're closer to the book, because I know our listeners will love to hear about the book and also get it when it's out as well.
Oh, bless you. I'd love to do that, Michelle, and thanks to you and thanks to all our listeners. I look forward to joining you again soon.
All right. Thank you. Blessings and big hug.
Bless you. Lots of love to you.
Lots of love and light. All right, and that was Jude Kuravan. You can find out more information about the wonderful, insightful books that she has at judekuravan.com. And, of course, Hope comes out in July. All right, so you've been listening to Awakenings, part of the Converging Flow. It is important to be in coherence. Allow yourself to harmonize through tuning within. Awakenings airs every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific time. Until next time, continue to share your insight, shine your light, and keep awake.